Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, we're all caught up now with opponent previews because we're going to talk about the Georgia Bulldogs with our friend Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7. We've had him on the podcast a number of times. And Jordan, you know, I used to make this joke a lot when I would interview Michael Casagrande when he covered Alabama, and I'd just be like, well, here we are again. You know, it's going to be another 12-0 season. I'm sure it's boring over there for you at this point. Do you guys ever get tired of playing on rookie mode over there in Athens? This team, once again, I struggle to find a flaw with them.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things when you're previewing a season to come, you know, I almost feel like a hack. It's like, is it really that easy to just say 12-0 again? And I will say that this year compared to the last few, I mean, I really did toy with Georgia having a loss in the regular season because they have a really tough schedule, having to go to Alabama, to Texas, to Ole Miss. But yeah, it does take a little bit of the creativity out of it, Brian, where you're like, well, I guess I'm going to call them to go undefeated again. There definitely are questions about this team, you know, after losing quite a bit from last season. But, I mean, to spoil a big secret, I got them going undefeated in the regular season again. And they'll be in great shape to try to go out there and win another national title.
I just want to go on the record that I'm willing to have one of these kind of boring seasons over here in Starkville. If it can be arranged, I would be all for it.
You'll take that hit.
I feel like I'll take it personally. You mentioned the schedule. I think when you're a team like Georgia, people will never, you're like, what do you mean they have a tough schedule? They're Georgia, but you hit on those games. Not to mention they play Clemson to start the season in a neutral site. And I don't really know what Clemson's going to be, but this is a program that isn't that far removed from being a national champion. And they do have to host Tennessee as well. Plus, they have, you know, the game with Auburn, as we learned last year, that's a rivalry game that can go any way. It's odd to say that Georgia, who's going to be preseason number one, has one of the toughest schedules in college football, but they do. I guess the question is, you know, what's the cutoff for Georgia with the schedule? Where do you say if they were to lose two, they're still into the college football playoff, right? What about 9-3, which feels like it would be a disaster at Georgia if they were to go 9-3, but I still, even with this schedule, they could be in the discussion. Where's the college football playoff cutoff for you with this team?
I think you would be sweating it if you fell to 9-3. I think if that happened, you would have had to have beaten probably either Texas or Alabama and maybe lost another one along the way to get to that three. But yeah, I mean, when you look at this schedule, I think where some of these games are make it particularly interesting. You mentioned Clemson, and you know, I'm not someone who's really high on Clemson, but if I'm Clemson, you know, I think maybe playing Georgia to open the season, if you're going to play Georgia, that feels like probably your best bet of when to play them when they're still trying to figure things out, you know, trying to replace starters at certain positions. And then you look farther in the schedule, Tennessee at home in November, going to Ole Miss in November. I always stress, you know, that you don't really know what you're going to have on hand, you know, for any team by the time you get to November, just because of injuries, wear and tear. You know, you might be having other guys to step up that you weren't necessarily expecting. And, you know, you kind of have to be all hands on deck in some of those games. So, yeah, I mean, my thought is Georgia would get in pretty easily, I believe, if they hit 10-2. 9-3, you know, you have to have the right wins among those nine and probably need a little bit of help elsewhere to sneak in. It is a very tough schedule. It's funny to me, comparing it to last year, about this time, a lot of the conversation was about how soft Georgia's schedule was. And it did get bumped up a little bit. Missouri wound up being a whole lot better than we expected. Mm-hmm. But, Brian, no conversation this offseason about, man, Georgia didn't play anybody, because there's something I've repeated talking to people, radio hits and podcasts. You know, Georgia is one of four teams that plays multiple teams that made the playoff last year. Georgia is the only one of those four teams that plays both of those teams in true road games. So it's hard to say that it could be much tougher for Georgia as far as the schedule goes.
Carson Beck was my first team All-SEC quarterback on my ballot last week. And this is a really good year for quarterbacks in the conference. You've got, you know, four or five guys that you could have put first team and not really, you know, gotten a whole lot of argument. What makes Beck the best of that group?
I think the biggest thing, and it's really simple, and it impressed me last year as a first-year starter, he just doesn't make a whole lot of bad decisions. You know, that was something that kind of got Stetson Bennett in the doghouse at times with Kirby Smart. And Kirby was really honest with the media at times, saying, you know, he makes too many boneheaded decisions. And you saw that jump his second full year as a starter. But Carson, you know, I really expected when he first took over as a starter to start the 2023 season, you know, okay, he may be. May have some interceptions early on. You know, it's been 3 or 4 years since he's really played because he was waiting in the wings at Georgia. But no, I mean, he does a very good job of, you know, throwing the ball away or you know, taking a sack and living to fight another day. But besides that, I mean, he's got a really good arm. I will be interested to see if you kind of see him work on those deep shots. I'd say that is the biggest weakness, but that's, you know, nothing that necessarily concerns me. Does a very good job of spreading the ball around the field. Does a very good job of knowing when to take off and run. Something I think he got more comfortable with as last season went along. And is a guy, you know, I think his athleticism might be overlooked by some folks because, you know, he's not what I'd say is a true like dual threat, but he can take off and run and he can move when he needs to. So he's got everything you would want as far as an SEC starting quarterback. And there's been a lot of Heisman hype. And, you know, I think that's warranted, especially with. When you consider what's around him, I think he's got the weapons to put up yards and make big plays. And then you talk about the schedule. He'll have plenty of chances to play in prime time marquee games, and he'll have a shot to show that he's one of the best players in the country.
It's hard to say that Georgia at Alabama isn't the biggest game in the SEC this year, but I think it's Georgia at Texas just because of Texas's newness. But at Alabama, at Texas, and then at Ole Miss, which of those three games scares you the most?
It's Texas. I think that Texas has the weapons to beat Georgia, especially with that being at home. I think that this is a team, and I don't think it was a surprise, you know, me saying this. You look back to media days, Texas was picked second, and a lot of people, including Nick Saban, had Georgia and Texas in the SEC title game. My big question, that was truly, Brian, the game when I went through and predicted all of Georgia's games, you know, really studied the opponents, right, wrote out, you know, the predicted scores and all that. Texas was the one that I took the longest time with because I had the thought is, you know, could Texas beat Georgia? And I think they can. Now, I ultimately did not pick that just because I have a lot of questions about that defensive line with what they lost to the NFL. Are they going to be able to stop the run? Are they going to be able to pressure Carson Beck? I don't necessarily think they'll be able to do it enough to beat Georgia, but I think Texas is a great team. I think they've got a great opportunity to go back to the playoff. And I do think that is going to be a very entertaining game in Austin. I do think Georgia better show up ready to play because Longhorns can absolutely win that game when it's all said and done.
So the game against Mississippi State, sandwiched in between that trip to Austin and the Deep South oldest rivalry, Auburn on October the 5th. So if ever that, you know, you wanted to consider this kind of matchup a trap game, I guess that possibly say that about this one. Where is Georgia weak? If you're on the Mississippi State sideline, what are you going to try to do to attack Georgia?
It's going to be really interesting, especially with what Jeff Lebby's going to be looking to run. But the big question mark I've had throughout this offseason is Georgia's interior defensive line. You know, they haven't had a Jalen Carter or Jordan Davis the last few years. And I always say that and say that, you know, that's a first world problem because, yeah, man, those were like top 10, top 15 picks. But, you know, they've had good defensive lines, but they haven't had that game wrecker, that one guy where you're just like, get out of the way because he's going to either get tackles in the backfield or get pressure on the quarterback. And I think they need guys to step up in that manner. Now, they got Nazir Stackhouse back, who's their nose tackle, who a lot of people thought he could have gone off the board in the first three rounds of April's draft, but he's back for another year. They've got sort of a rotation of guys that I think among them, someone could really step up and help fill the void. Christian Miller, Jordan Hall, got some freshmen that are coming in as well. Jordan Thomas, Nnamdi Ogboko. They've got Nasir Johnson as well. They need guys, I think, to step up on the interior defensive line. And then the other one, which I think Mississippi State would really try to attack, there are some questions in the secondary. You know, they lost Kamari Laster, who was a second-round pick, to the Texans. They need somebody to step up there. And they've got a lot of options, which shouldn't be a surprise. They've got Daylon Everett back, who started last year, sort of up and down. But Julian Humphrey's back for another year. They've got Ellis Robinson, who's been one of the most talked about freshmen. By the time that game gets there, I think Georgia will have a better handle on what exactly it wants its secondary to look like. But there are some unproven players among those jockeying for position. I imagine Mississippi State's going to try to test those guys and see if they're up for the challenge.
If Georgia wins the national title this year, that'll be 3 out of 4, which is just kind of unprecedented. And I don't think anybody can objectively look at last season and say if Georgia had gotten in, they wouldn't have probably won it as well. Just that unfortunate to lose the SEC championship game. With 3 titles in 4 years, you don't have the sheer numbers that Saban put up at Alabama, but would that be a greater dynasty than anything Saban did in his time in Tuscaloosa?
I'd be hard pressed to say that just because of considering, what Nick Saban took over at Alabama. I think there was a lot of disarray. I think that, with the Mike Shula era, I mean, the fact, the way it even came together to begin with after the Mike Price situation. But I do think that it's a heck of an accomplishment because, you look at Georgia for so long, Mark Richt, I think sometimes folks want to write off Mark Richt and say what a, in retrospect, write off his accomplishments. But I mean, Georgia was, traditionally pretty much 9 and 10 wins every season with Mark Richt. There were a few opportunities they had to break through where they just came up short. So I would stop short of saying, that this would be more impressive than what Nick did in Tuscaloosa, because I just think, that is such an accomplishment and to continue to do it for so many years. But I mean, the run at Georgia right now, especially if they were able to win a national title, would just be absolutely incredible. And there's a reason Kirby Smart is viewed now as the top coach in college football. And I think, you make that argument if he wins it this year, that he'll be in the consideration of, if you had a college football Mount Rushmore for coaches, that he'd be up there with Nick Saban among the best of the best.
You gonna put an offer in on his house?
I saw it came down maybe 200 or 300,000. We're gonna keep seeing how far this thing will drop. Play the market the way we need to before we make it, before we
Just a
call the
Zillow
movers.
alert for that one, and if it reaches your price, we'll consider it. I mean, if I can stay there for the weekend in Athens, you got 7 bedrooms if that happens. So I mean, I can just crash with you; it'll be great. So
We're gonna make it we're gonna make it an Airbnb, and maybe
I think.
in
We
a
might make our
football
money
season.
back. Yeah.
That's
Why
what I was
not?
going to say. In a football season or two, we might be covered.
I mean, if next year when Georgia and Alabama come into Tech or Alabama and Texas come into Athens, we make that money back pretty easily, I would think.
Oh, I mean, that's just a good investment right there,
I mean,
Brian.
that's just smart. So, Jordan Hill, Dawgs 24/7, man. Thanks for your time. Always appreciate it.
Absolutely enjoyed it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.